Okay, Chav Zayin Amid Beis, all the way towards the bottom of the page, 27b4. Okay, the whole Gemara is talking about, you know, women were captured, do you believe them, do you not believe them, you know, all those things. So Amid Rav Zechayah said, Ben HaKotzev, in the Mishnah, he said like this, he was a Kohen, and there was a siege around the city, okay, and his wife was captured. So he says, Amor Nazer, with this one dwelling place, me, I swear with the Beis HaMikdash, Leizaza Yadam Mitech Yadi, she never left my wife never left my side. Mishar Shenichnas Oevdik Chomli Rishalayim Achiyotzu. From the time the Goyim came into the city until they left, my wife never left my side. And therefore she was not defiled, I can stay married to her. Omr Leizaza the Chachom said to him, no, ain't other maid alatzme, you cannot testify on your own behalf. In other words, you're testifying your wife never left you, but you say you testify on yourself that you can stay married to her. Because we learned if a Goyim's wife was captured, then we should assume that she was defiled, so you can't be with her. So the Gemara says, Tane, Afal Pikein, nevertheless, Yichul Abayis Bachatzeri. They had a house for her in his own courtyard. In other words, we're going to see in the Gemara, when a guy divorces his wife, they can't live together in the same courtyard. Because we're afraid they're going to be together, and then it's going to undo the get. Okay? So he says, nevertheless, he was only not allowed to live with her. But Yichud Labayis Bechatzere, he was permitted that she should have a house in the courtyard. Basically means he didn't have to divorce her. They remained husband and wife, but they were never together. Hokshehi Yaitza, and when she would leave, Yaitza Berosh Banel, she would leave before her children. Ukshi Nichneses, and when she came into the house, into the courtyard, Nichneses b'seiv bana. Meaning she never wanted to be alone with the husband. So she never left after the kids, and she always came after the kids. In other words, there were always kids home, that there shouldn't be a problem of yichud. Okay, so now, boy, Abaya asked a question like this. This was done by the case of the woman captured. But boy, Abaya, ma lasis begerusha kain. Is the same law apply with a kohen with a divorcee? A kohen cannot remarry his divorcee, right? Even his own divorcee cannot remarry. So the question is, if a kohen divorces his wife, can they make a house for her in the courtyard? And she makes sure never to be alone with her husband. So the question, what was this question? She said like this. Maybe over there were lenient because it was only a woman that was taken captive. A woman that was taken captive, we're not sure that she was raped. It's possible she was raped. So over there, it's only a fear. But over here, a case of a kohen with a divorcee, he's for sure not allowed to remarry her because she's a divorcee. Or do we say there's no difference? Just say by the captive woman, the Chachamim allowed him to make a house in the courtyard, maybe the same thing by a divorced wife also. So we might say like this, Toshma, come, I'll prove it to you. It says, Amagadish Esishtai, okay, Leitzinasi Bishchunasi. She cannot remarry and live in the husband's neighborhood. Okay? In other words, like this, a woman who gets divorced and remarries can never go back to the first husband. To Pasik and Chumash. The second husband dies, divorces her, she can never go back to the first husband. So it says like this, because they were so intimate, the husband and wife, maybe they know private signs and gestures between each other, so afraid if they're gonna live, if she remarries, and she's gonna live in the same neighborhood, she might be intimate with the first husband when she's still married to the second guy. So therefore it says, Leitinasi bishchunasi, she cannot stay married in the neighborhood, okay? Vimah yukayin, and if he's a kayin, she can't stay with him even in the same place with a mavui, okay? Because their closeness might bring them to sin.
What's mavui?
Mavui is the translation of a mavui is like this. They had the streets, okay? Off the streets went a side street. The side street opened up to many courtyards. That was the way it was. I think in Europe, they still have it. Major thoroughfare. Then you have side streets off the major thoroughfare. That's called a mavui. From the mavui, it goes into a number of courtyards. So they can't even live in the same mavui. Im haya kvar katan, if it was a small village, then they can't even live in the same mavui. Even if she didn't remarry. Even if she didn't remarry, but because it's the divorce of a kayin, he cannot be intimate with her. So we're afraid they're going to still be together. And it says, Ahoya Maisa, this takah occurred, and the Chachamim said, Kvar Katan, a small neighborhood, is like a shchuna, a small village is like a neighborhood. Therefore, it says clearly that a woman who remarried cannot live in the same village as her first husband. Abaye's question was, does it only apply by Shvuya? Because they were lenient, or there's no difference? Gemara says no. By Shvuya, by captive women, they were lenient that she can live in the same courtyard. But a divorcee cannot live in the same neighborhood even. Or if it's a small village, they can't live in the same village.
This should apply now.
It applies today also.
So let's say in the high-rise building, you can have the same person in the same building.
But they're not supposed to.
Right.
The only question is, does it apply to any married woman or to a kohen? Okay? See, this braisa that it says, he speaks about any Yisrael.
If that woman, the woman gets divorced.
Right.
Marries another man. The man dies or gets divorced. And she goes back to the first of
her
children.
Kiss of Mamzadim.
The kiss of Mamzadim?
Mamzadim. Okay, the Gemara on the next page is Chav Ches Amid Beis is going to discuss the difference if a Yisrael divorced her, if a Kohen divorced her. See, if a Yisrael divorced his wife, technically he could remarry her. If she didn't marry anybody else. But a Kohen who divorces his wife can't remarry her. Finished. Okay, then the question is like this. Okay, if they can't, the Gemara is going to discuss practical, not custody, but living arrangements. They can't live in the same neighborhood, yeah? Who has to leave, him or her? Not what the court say. What does Torah say? Who has to leave?
But she's under jurisdiction of her husband. It's harder for her to.
She's divorced.
I don't want she when she gets married to another man.
1 second. Or if it's Yisrael, even if she didn't remarry. Because Gemara says like this. Mi nitchem mipnei mi. Who gets pushed? Who has to leave the courtyard? Him or her?
I think him.
1 second. Tashma, the Gemara says in the Braisa, he nidachas mipanev, she has to leave, ve'ein hu nidacha mipaneha. And he doesn't have to leave. She has to leave. But, im haisa chotze shela, if she owned the courtyard, that means like a family inheritance, then hu nidacha mipaneha. Then she has to leave.
Oh,
then
he has to. The husband owns the place. I see.
Not because. Gemara's not going to say that. Okay? The reason he nidachas mipanav, she gets displaced by him. She has to leave. She has to move. It's a whole issue over here. What is it called? So some of the Shanim say, it's three houses, you can't be within three houses of each other. The unmarried divorcee of a Kohen, she cannot even anywhere in the Mavui, no matter how many houses there are. Okay, there's a whole bunch of different things over here, what goes on.
If the wife of the Kohen, they divorce, she doesn't get married, but then goes back. She cannot go back.
No, a Kohen cannot marry a divorcee even his own.
Right. If she does, the kids are what?
Not a mamza, just a choli, not a kosher Kohen, the kid.
Just not a kosher Kohen.
Right.
And that's something that then...
Because not capital punishment. It's just a sin of a negative. Right. This that a Kohen, in other words like this, when it's a forbidden relation, that's capital punishment, or Chorus, or Bezdin kills you, then the kids are Mamzeidim. If it's only a negative commandment, without chorus or anything like that, then Rabbi Kiva holds the kids a mamzer, but the halacha is not like Rabbi Kiva, and it's not a mamzer. If a kohen marries a divorcee, which he's not allowed to, the kid's not a mamzer, because it's only a negative commandment. There's no punishment of chorus. But the kid's not a kohen. He's called a cholov. But any time there's capital punishment involved, then the kid would be a mamzer.
In what instance, like he said, what instance would that be? If the wife married?
And went back to the first husband.
After the divorce or before the same time? It has to be the same time. She has to still be married with the new husband.
No. A man is married to a woman. Yeah? Avram was married to Sarah. Avram and Sarah get divorced. Sarah marries Yitzchak.
Yes.
Yitzchak dies and divorces her. She cannot go back to Avram. Even not a kohen. Just anybody.
But if she didn't go back to anybody, it's a mitzvah to take her back.
It's a mitzvah to take her back.
Yeah, but
if he's not a kohen. Right.
If the husband passed away or the divorce,
she cannot go back to the first husband. And if she does,
it's a mamzer.
It's a mamzer. You're not allowed to marry two sisters. One man cannot marry, no. Yeah. After Matan Torah. Right? It's called a Chay Sishta. If somebody's married to a woman, as long as that woman is alive, he cannot marry the sister.
Okay? If
the woman died, in fact, it happened many times. The guy married a woman, she died, and the guy married her sister. Because it was good for the kids, and everybody could, you know, they knew her. I know a case, a few cases like that in the Chabad, like that. That actually the wife died and they married the sister. Because she died young, so they married the sister. Because it was much easier, everybody knew each other already, you know, it's whatever. So then, but if somebody, let's say, divorces his wife, yeah, marries his sister, her sister, kids are mamzerim. The guy divorces his wife, and the wife is still alive, and he marries her sister, kids are mamzerim. If she's dead, there's no problem marrying her.
Wow.
This happens a lot in the world.
I heard years ago something like that.
No, because the guy marries her, and then he falls in love with the sister, and she falls in love with the man. Dumps the wife and he marries the sister, but then the Torah law, it's capital punishment. Okay.
And the kids are on there?
Yeah.
Wow. I know people are young.
Huh?
It happens.
I know somebody who did it.
And the kids are on there? Somebody just called me yesterday. A kohen, I mean, there's this kohen, never married, an older man, never got married, his mother just died, yeah, on her deathbed, she called him in, she said, I want you to know that you're a mamzer. This guy had this question yesterday. The question is he's still a kohen. And now the kohen was a mamzer. Could he tochen? Could he?
Wow. What a last parting
word. And his kids are all mamzer.
So the din is like this. if his mother got pregnant the first time they had intimacy, he could still work in the Beis HaMikdash. But if she got pregnant after the first time, then he cannot work. He's not a kohen. He can't do nothing.
How could be a kohen and a mamzer? You could have a mamzer kohen, right? Yeah.
A guy's a kohen, lives with an eishesish, right? She never got a kosher get. She had a civil get. Marries her, right? And has this kid, so the kid's a mamzer. She had a first chuppah, halach, you know, everything good. Right? So the kid's a kohen, his father's a kohen.
So it's meant to be that he's not married, since married. He's not married.
Well, it's good that he's not married, but the question, his question was about being a kohen.
Did she just say that you remembered or explain what the circumstances?
I don't know what the details were, but she called him in and she said, I want to tell you a mamzer.
But she knows for sure the definition of mamzer?
I don't know, I'm just telling you this, the question, the saying that he's a mamzer, this is the story.
Maybe she said, my son, you're a pastor.
No, that's not.
He didn't take care of me, baby.
She wished he was, maybe. Okay, so it says like this. Who leaves? So if it's her courtyard, the husband leaves. If not, she leaves. Zumar says, what's happened belonged to both of them. Mean they're equal in it. Okay? So, or they own the house in the courtyard. So it says, Tashma, hini dechas mipanav. It says in the Braise, she gets displaced by him. I mean, she has to leave. So Gemara says, Vamayeski, what's the case? Ilema b'chotze shaloi, if he owns the courtyard, or the house in the courtyard, pshit, of course she has to leave. So it must be, ala b'chotze shaloi, her courtyard. And it says, imhaise chotze shaloi, but our Braise says, if it was her courtyard, then he has to go away. So, in other words, a Braise says like this, if it's his courtyard, she leaves, right? If it's his courtyard, she leaves. If it's hers, he leaves. If it's his, she leaves. So he says, but Tanya, if it says, Elalav, so what's the case where it says in the Braise that she gets pushed away? It's speaking that they belong to both of them. Okay? So if they belong to both of them, you see that she still gets pushed off.
Could it be because the husband gets the custody of the kids? That's why he stays, because the kids stay.
First of all, this case is not speaking with his kids, even if there's no kids. Number one. Number two, there's another issue. First of all, the husband doesn't get the kids.
In the old days they did, didn't they?
No. According to Torah, the husband gets the boys, the wife gets the girls, and any kid under six goes to the mother. But once they hit six, if it's a boy, it goes back to the father. Not the father doesn't get sole custody. So Gemara says no. The Dilma, the Agar Mega. Maybe the case is speaking when they both rent houses in the courtyard, but nobody owns the house. They just rent it. Okay. So then, what happens if they're both renting a house? Who has to leave? So then, she's leaving. So Gemara says like this, my hava aloh, what's the halacha? Gemara's question is, what's the halacha over here? Who has to leave, the woman or the man? So Gemara's going to bring down a pasuk and says like this, Hine Hashem, behold Hashem, mital telcha tiltel agover. It's speaking about a curse. What? It's speaking about a curse. The pasuk says, Hashem will cause you to wander the wandering of a man. So from here you see Amarav, Totula de Gavra, wandering of a man, Kosha Midiitz is more difficult than the woman's. Because people have more Rachmanis on the woman than on the man. So therefore they'll take care of the woman more.
Does it have to do who initiates the guest? If the husband is requesting or if the...
No. That doesn't matter. Not about as far as leaving. Okay. Then the Gemara continues. Gemara says like this. Now, it's basically the husband and wife cannot have any connection because we're afraid the kohen's going to live with her and it's not allowed to, if he's a kohen. Okay. So, love a man who benichse avia. What happened if the husband borrowed money from her father? Can he pay back the money through the wife, through the ex-wife? He borrowed money from her father, so he still owes the money. Can he pay her the money for the father? So it says, "Ein nifras ayde acher." It can only be through somebody else. You know, the husband cannot give the money directly to the wife because we're afraid they're going to get back together again. So he has to give it to somebody else. Amar Rav Sheshes says, the also the common ladina, not only that, what happens if the husband and wife come to Beis Din together for a din Torah? The ex-wife. He says, loy mister kinin lahu. We don't talk to them. And they're not even allowed to come to Beis Din together for a court case. The Gemara says, Amar Papa Amar, not only that, Shamuti Mishamtinin lahu. We excommunicate them. Rav Huna b'nei Rav Yisho Amar, Nugudin Name Magdino. We also give them lashes. And as in addition to excommunicating them, we give them lashes. Jason says, because each one is stricter than the next. So in other words, that's how strict the Gemara says. That's how strict the Gemara says you have to be when a Kohen is divorcing. More, this is only by Kohen, by the way. Because it's stricter, because if she didn't remarry, he couldn't remarry her. But a Kohen, he can never remarry her. We're afraid they're going to get too close and they'll get married again. So he says you can't even come together to din Torah. Nothing. They have to be completely separate.
Can we say, like, there is an argument that in this case, where the Kohen knows the restriction, that they would be more careful about it anyway?
No. We're not afraid to that. We're afraid that even then they'll do something wrong. There's a rule in the Gemara. Ein apotropos l'arayos, meaning there's no guarantor when it comes to adulterous type of things. There's no guarantor. Even the Gemara says, Rav Meir said, make sure I don't hang around my daughter too much. Or I hang around, you know. They would say to be very extremist. Today the world is very lax with this.
But why is it only a little kid is considered a shomer?
No, because then they're afraid to do anything. The kid will talk. It can be a 2-year-old. It has to be 7, 8, 9. Because then they'll talk. And they're afraid to do something because then they'll talk. So it takes away yichud. Okay, then the Gemara says, Amen Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman said like this. Tano be'avel rapsi, it's a brice of a small mesachta. Says like this. Be'medvarim amurim, when can a Kohen's divorcee not collect from the father? You know, pay back the ex-wife for the father. She'nizgar shemina nesuyin, when they were divorced after the wedding. Avon nizgar shemina edison, but if they only had Kedushin, and then they got divorced, because you need to get after Kedushin, right? Even if you didn't get married. So then the din is, Nefrasai Deyatzmi compared directly. Why? She'enli Begaspa. He doesn't know her that well. They were never married. So we're not afraid that they know all the intimate stuff about each other. So therefore, if they got divorced from the wedding, he cannot pay her money that she owes to the father. But if it was from the Kedushin before they got married, then it's okay. So the Gemara says like this. Ha'u others by Rusas, there was a certain couple, a Kohen and his wife, but they got divorced before they were married. That means the Kohen, remember in the old times he did 12 months earlier? The Kohen did have a Kedushin with his wife, divorced her before they got married. They came to Rava for a din Torah. Okay? So, and they didn't have an intermediary. So it was the husband, the ex-husband, and the ex-wife. Yosef Ravada Bar Master Kamei. So Ravada Bar Master was sitting in front of Rava. So what did Rava do? Okay, Rava Shlucha Ben Tayu. Rava said to Ravada, I want you to be the intermediary between the two. I don't want them to have any talking between you. You be the go-between. Amalei Ravada Bar Master. So Rav Ada Bar Masna said, why do I need an intermediary? They got divorced from the Kedushin, not from the marriage. And we just said that if it's from the Kedushin, they don't need an intermediary. They can do it themselves. Hamer of Nachman, Tana Bevel Rapsi, that if it's from the Edison, it's good. Amalei, so he said, Kochazina de Gagai Sivadadi. They were too familiar with each other. You know, when this couple came, this ex-couple, he saw they were too, they knew each other too well just to have Kedushin. So he said, even though normally from Kedushin you don't need an intermediary, but in this case, they were too close, so I'm afraid that something's gonna happen.
if there is a reason that the divorcing, or like in the case where there is child support and alimony, the husband, the ex-husband is going to be always in touch or paying. How do they do that now?
Supposed to be through intermediaries. Supposed to be through intermediaries.
It won't be like a meeting or...
The Gemara is going to talk more on the next page all about this, but it's a very big problem, halachically. Especially if it's a kohen, I'm saying.
Yeah. So even now, it implies that it has to be done through...
Yeah.
You're just going like, you know, collect or...
No. No. Mm-hmm. I mean, even... The bigger problem is, let's say, a kohen divorced his wife from the wedding... They have kids, and now it's custody issues. You have to drop off the kids, pick up the kids. Right. You know, you can't go into the house. Because again, there's a problem. Ikadami, some people say there was another version over here. So the Gemara says, this version says, Le'uker Rav Shliach Ben Tayyar, Rav did not make an intermediary of Rav Adar. So Rav Adar, my master said, Nekem HaShluch Ben Tayyar, why don't you make an intermediary between them? So he said, because Rav Nachman said, from the Kedushin you don't need. Amalei, but Rav Adar said to Rav, yeah, but I saw this couple fooling around too much. So therefore, in my opinion, you need anyway. Hali Melehechadol Gassi Badadi. They were not close. Aval Hani, this couple, you know, it's very interesting. The world, from one side, was more moral then, it was much more immoral then. I mean, the whole intimacy was going back and forth. You know, people were divorcing, they were still being together, and all these stuff were going on then. And that could pose a big problem.
Even though the community is very close-knit.
They didn't care. They would
everybody
do it.
Knew everybody. Everybody
they would do it close. Secretly, and yeah, but there wasn't communication like we have today. There wasn't.
During this time of the Gemara.
Yeah. You see, even this couple was divorced. Yeah, and they were still very too close. Like they were
mingling
too close together for comfort, like they say.
Because maybe there was also more kedusha, more learning, because you had that also in that way, right?
Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. Oh, next Mishnah. Okay? Okay, this Mishnah goes into a different concept. Normally, Edom are only believed when they're adults. But there are certain things that Chachamim say when they're an adult, they could testify of what they saw when they were a kid. Now they're bar mitzvah, and they come to Pesach to testify that we remember when we were kids, this and this happened. So certain things are believed in, certain things are not believed in. So it says like this, this is what the Mishnah says. Ve'eila namon elaheila begaidlan, these are what people are believed to testify when they're an adult, maro b'kaitin, what they saw when they were little kids. For instance, naman adam leimad, a person is trusted to say when he's an adult only. Zek sav yadu shalabit, this is my father's writing. But there's a contract, yeah? So you need to validate the contract? So the kid, when he's an adult, testifies, I remember that this the contract, this is my father's writing. Or zek sav yadu shalabit, this is my Rebbe's handwriting. Or, Zek Sav Yadu Shalachi, this is my brother's writing. Okay? In other words, he validates the contract. Or, he says like this, Zachar Ayisi Bepleini, I remember this woman, such and such a woman, she yotze behin numa vareshe perua, she went out at her father's house on the way to a wedding with a veil and her hair down. Meaning like this. The question is, this woman is getting divorced or the husband died. She's coming to collect the ksuba. She doesn't have a ksuba. Well, we learned that before. The husband says, you are not a virgin. She says, I was a virgin. I get 200 versus 100. You know, the whole thing. So this kid, now he's an adult. He's bar mitzvah. But he says, I remember this woman, when she went out to the chuppah, she was wearing a veil and her hair was down. Because they didn't have to cover the hair yet. She was not married yet. So the hair was down. So even though he's testifying now what he saw when he was a kid, he's believed. And the Gemara is going to explain why. Because L'cheira, he's saying testimony on what he saw as a kid. Why is that good even though now he's in the Gemara is going to explain why. Or, he says, Shahaya ish pleini yeitim mibesa sefer. I remember this and this person would leave school, lidvah to go to the mikvah, lachu betruma, to eat truma. And that was another thing, there was a question on a person if he's a kohen or not. Yeah? And this kid, who's now an adult, testifies, I remember we were in school together, and he used to take him out of school to go to the mikvah to eat truma. So now obviously he's a kohen. That's what he's testifying. But, and not only that, or shahaya chelik imanu ala geiren, he would divide truma with us at the granary, meaning he was part of the truma division. And also he was able to say, hamakam azeh beis pras, this is a beis pras. Okay? Meaning like this. Beis pras is a place where there was a grave that, and the field got plowed later. So the question rabbinically, Minatayra, there's no tumah there because it was plowed. Even if there was a body there, it was torn apart. But Mirabanan is still tumah. So a beis pras means a field with a doubtful tumah in it. So the kid is believed to say, I remember from here to here was the beis pras. And as he's believed to say the measurements of the field, that field is doubtful. Okay, or he would believe to say, Ad kan hayinu boim b'Shabbos. This is, you know, you can't go outside to Chum Shabbos, outside of the city 2,000 Amos. Okay. The kid is believed to say, when he was an adult, that I remember when I was a kid, we walked to here on Shabbos. Now, this is where we walked to. So even though he's testifying on Tumah, on Shabbos, on the girl, he's believed. But, Ein Adam Nemar Leimar. But if he's an adult testifying what he saw when he's a kid, he's not believed to say, this guy had a path in this place. Okay? Or, I'll explain in a second. Maimed a misbud hayo pleni b'makam hazeh. So he has a standing spot, an eulogizing spot in this place. Okay? Meaning like this. There's two dinim over here. If I sell you a field, let's say the table is a big field area, and it's divided up into different parcels. Yeah? And I sold you a parcel in the middle of the field. Correct? Do you have an automatic road to the parcel? So Halacha says you don't. But the halacha is you don't. So if the guy needs a road to get to his field, he has to buy a path. Okay? Now there's a fight going on. This guy said I had a path, and this guy said no you didn't. Okay? This kid testifies when he's an adult that I remember as a kid that the guy used to walk on that path. Then he's not believed. Because basically it's a money issue now. It's now you're talking about money. And money, you need a kosher witness. Talk about kohen needing trumas like Eidach and Nam and Bisun.
Maybe you walk without permission.
No. Oh, that's the second case, by the way. Do you know that this in civil law also? I forgot what it's called. If I use your property and you don't stop me, so I have a right to do it from now on? With the easement? No, not easement. Huh?
If you use it for a certain amount of time,
condemnation.
Maybe.
Inverse condemnation, something like that.
If you own a property and I stand on your property for X amount of time making eulogies and speeches, whatever. Yeah? And then you come and say, get off my property. So what do you mean? I'm here for 3 years or whatever it is doing it. You can't stop me. So what happened if this guy was making eulogies on somebody else's land for a long time, and the kid is testifying, I remember when I was a kid that this guy would make eulogies here. Then it's also a monetary issue, and then he wouldn't be believed. So that's what the Mishnah is saying. If it's monetary things like the guy had a path or he had a right to, then he's not believed, even though he's testifying now as an adult, but he's testifying what he saw as a kid. But if it's, you know, Tumah, Shabbos, all those things, he's believed.
The handwriting that he testifies could be on a contract, monetary contract. But he's testifying on the handwriting.
The Gemara is going to explain. He needs another witness with him, though. But the Gemara is going to explain, because that validating a document is only rabbinic. And because it's rabbinic, the Chum believed him. Mm-hmm. He's not testifying that the guy owes him money. Mm-hmm. He's not testifying about the contract. He's saying, this is my father's writing. Mm-hmm. So it's not forged. That's what he's saying.
Well, how is it that at the time that he witnessed it, he wasn't a kosher witness to testify because
he But he didn't minor. Testify then.
Right, but we're using that, if you go retroactive, at the time that he actually did witness, he was not a kosher witness at that time. There's no logic to that. I mean, normally, let's say at the time, he's not qualified for something.
The reason is, Rashi explains, we're going to see it more in the Gemara, but the reason is because all these things that he's testifying on are all rabbinic nature. And therefore the Chachamim say, because it's only a rabbinic need to testify anyway, and the Gemara is going to say you need a second adult with you also, you know, this kid adult is believed if there's another one concurring his testimony. But why is he believed? Because it's only rabbinically needed. Chachamim said, listen, now he's an adult. Right, so now he could testify. And he remembers clearly what happened when he was a kid, so because it's rabbinic, but tak, if you need biblical testimony, yes, it wouldn't be good. If a kid testifies when he's an adult, that when I was 10 years old, I was a witness of a man doing Aliyat Mekodeshesli, that would be worthless. Right. Because that's biblical testimony. Here we're talking about Tchum Shabbos, which is rabbinic, Tumah of a base of pras, because it's only rabbinically Tomei, the field, because Minatoria was, the grave was already ripped apart through the plowing. Right. So all these things are rabbinic things, so, you know, you don't need a real testimony. But Avuna Bnei Rav Yeshua says an interesting thing, there has to be another adult with him. In other words, you can't have two kids testifying as adults what they saw when they were a kid. Only one of the two is allowed in this case, because it's rabbinic, and the Chum allowed it. So now the Gemara asks a different question. In the Mishnah, it says like this. The kid says, this is my father's writing, this is my Rebbe's writing, and this is my brother's writing. Yeah? Why do we need three cases? My father, my Rebbe, and my brother. I mean, one, I understand the other two. So it says, Tzricha, I need all three cases. Why? The Ashmein and Aviv, if it only said his father, that he's believed, because Shchir Gabei, the father and the kid were always hanging around each other. So therefore we trust the kid that it's his father's writing. But Rabbi, but his Rebbe's writing, I would think no, maybe he's not believed. The Ashmein and Rabbi, and if it says his Rebbe, that he's believed, I wouldn't know the father. Why? Mishun, the Isle Aim said the Rabbi, because his Rebbe, he's fearful of. Because he's fearful, he's in awe of him, he's going to remember his writing better. Avalaviv, maybe Loi, maybe not. And if Ashmina Hani Tait, if it says father and brother and Rebbe, I would think, Aviv the Shechir Gabbai, why is he believed? Because the father is around with him. And his Rebbe, because he fears him. But the brother, that he's not around him so much, and he doesn't fear the brother, I would think he's not believed. Kamash Malan, the Chim Mishnah tells us like this. Kiven the Kiyam Shtaris Midrabanan, because validating a shtar, right? Certifying a document is rabbinic. Hemnur Rabbanan Midrabanan, the Chum said he's believed. Even though it's a brother that he doesn't know so much. And so this is what the Gemara says. Another thing the Mishnah said he's believed. Okay. Then the Gemara says like this. One of the things the Mishnah said, the kid says, I remembered that this woman, when she got married, went out with her hair down and, you know, with a veil and everything. So the Gemara said, my time, why is he believed? Because if you think about it, she wants to extract money now. By saying she's a psula, she can get $200 instead of $100. Mm-hmm. So why is he believed she's extracting money?
It's monetary.
Huh?
Monetary.
Yeah. So the Gemara says like this. Kiven the Rav Noshim Psulas Nisaz. The answer is like this. Most women get married virgin. So Gilim Milsibamahu. So therefore, because majority of women anyway are married as virgins, and this guy's adding to it, so we believe him. It's not called that he's extracting money.
Besides, what if the hair is not? Maybe it's
the
shape. I mean, she's a divorcee, not the
attached. No, he testified that he saw the hair go down.
They didn't have shetels then.
Huh?
They didn't have shetels then.
They did.
They did?
They had, well, they were not like today's. They had the peir nochris. The Mishnah talks about peir nochris, which is actually a wig of some sort.
So if she was a divorcee, she would have her hair covered.
Yeah.
That's the halacha right now, yes? If you have a divorcee.
They should, yeah.
They can't go back to...
Officially not. Second.
Officially not. Is it an avera if they do? Or I mean, is it just a custom?
See, Rashi says, when the kid testifies, the girl went with her hair down, he says, and the Gemara says, just to reveal the point, it doesn't need witnesses, just to publicize the kid's, is not there to testify. He's there to publicize the fact that we know already. It's a big argument in Aloha today.
It's like it's going
the divorced woman has to wear a shekel or not.
There's some that are Mechlem?
Yeah, non-Lubavitchers.
Just like we believe the Goyim sitting around the bar talking about something.
Right. Messiah of Itume, if they're not intending to testify as witnesses.
Rebbe was clear about that.
Yeah, but there's a lot of, even in Chabad, there's a lot of women that get divorced young, very young. You know, they're not married that long. And they don't want to wear a sheitel, they want to go out, whatever. So, the Lubavitcher Rabbanim are not Meiko, but they ask, like Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, that if the divorcee is going to have a problem with a shidduch because of that, so that, you know. But in our circles, halachically, I mean, what happens when they really want it, we send them to non-Lubavitcher Rabbanim to ask, because Tzemach Tzedek is very strict about it, so. Okay, then the next thing the kid testified was, I remember this kid going out from school to don't go to the mikveh to eat truma. Right? So it's enough. So Gemara says, how does that prove this guy's a kohen? Dilma evet kohenu. Maybe he's a slave of a kohen. How do you know this person? This kid testifies, I remember he went to the mikveh to eat truma. But the slave of a kohen could also eat truma. A goyish slave. And he has to go to the mikveh because he has to be pure. So, what's the proof that he's a Kayan? Maybe he's an Evet. So Gemara says, Messiah le Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Okay? This is the proof to Rabbi Shua ben Levi.
Slave of a coin that's a Goy?
Okay.
A Goy?
Yeah.
What would the concept of apply to?
A Kayan owns a slave who's a Goy?
Yeah.
The slave can eat Truma. If he owns a slave who's a Jew, the Jew cannot eat truma.
Right. But what concept of tummy does the goy have to make the
up to come? The question: why did he have to go to the mikvah?
Right.
I think
the
whole thing is
fine. Oh yeah, wait.
It's No, it's an interesting question. Why does he have to go to the mikveh? Maybe for Truma he did have to go to the mikveh anyway.
As a goyish slave?
Yeah, maybe. Because if they took him to the mikveh, that itself should prove that he's not. But it seems in the Gemara that he, even as a slave, he would go.
If goyim want to go to a mikveh, they're okay with that nowadays?
Do you use the bathhouse?
Yeah, I mean, I see some.
No.
It's allowed?
A goy to go to the mikveh? Yeah, well, where's he going? I mean, it seems in the Gemara, I mean, I don't see anybody talking about it even. The Cheder, if he went to the mikveh, so why, that itself should prove that he's a Jew, not a slave. It's an interesting question.
So in that case, maybe what you said is right. The Goyish slave did have to go to
the mikveh. Probably had to go to the mikveh. Because if he didn't have to go to the mikveh, and the kid testifies we took him to the mikveh, so it seems in Stami he does have to go to the mikveh, to eat truma. Even though l'chayr is no truma by a guy. Maybe for truma it's an extra thing that he has to do.
He's not 100% Jew. Right? He just accepts
No, because once he gets freed, the Grashian Tesev will say, now he's freed. And therefore he's a full-fledged Jew, but he's not a Kohen. Right? So the question is, the Gemara's question is, how can he eat, what's the question? Can this guy eat truma now? Right? And the kid's testify, I remember when I was a kid that the guy ate truma, right? Uh-huh. So the Gemara's question, how do you know he's a Kohen? Maybe he was then an Eved, and now he's free. No. The kid said the truth. He didn't want to the mikvah, but then he was an Eved, and not a Jew. So how do you know now he's a Kohen? Because if he was a slave and redeemed, then he's not a Kohen. He's a regular Ger.
He would never be a Kohen.
Right. He's a regular Ger.
And if he's a Ger, how is he that he's allowed to have the, well, I mean, for him, it doesn't matter if he eats Truma. A regular a Jew cannot eat Truma unless they're Kohen, but the Goy, slave can have the truma. Why would that such a holy thing be given to the slave? Why would the master give the truma to their slave?
Because the Torah says, because he owns him, it's his property. And the Torah clearly says you could.
Another question. You send your slave to the school? They took him from school, he says, and some went to mikveh.
Yeah, because we had to learn a little bit about Yiddishkeit. Interesting thing over here. I mean, what the... No, it's interesting. Because the Gemara says something here, there's a proof to the Bishul ben Levi that you're not allowed to teach your slave Torah. Because how could they take him from the school if an Eved is allowed to learn Torah? So what's the proof? The fact that they took him from school means he's not an Eved. That's what the Gemara's answer is. But why isn't the mikveh a good point also? That I don't understand. I don't know. Okay.
That's it?
That's it.